Hello and welcome to Franzik Radelet's FMLA Insights podcast. I'm Jeff Novak, a partner at Franzik Radelet, and I'm here with my partner, Bill Pokorny.
Hello.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Franzik Radelet, we are a law firm of about 50 attorneys focusing on labor employment, employee benefits, and education law matters. Although we maintain a single Chicago office, we maintain a national practice exclusively representing private and public employers throughout the country. Each month on the FMLA Insights podcast, we focus on a different issue or question under the FMLA and offer practical advice in handling those situations. Recently, a client we worked with grappled with an issue many other employers do. That is, if an employee fails to return from FMLA leave, may the employer recover any health benefit costs from the employee because it provided group health benefits during that FMLA leave? As a general rule, as many of you know, during an FMLA leave for any employee, the employer is required to maintain the employee's coverage under any group health plan. So in a nutshell, the employer is to treat the employee as if he or she never took FMLA leave. The payment schedule remains the same as if the employee was present and working. The employer is responsible for its portion of the premium cost, and the employee is responsible for theirs. But what happens if the employee doesn't return to work? Can the employer recover any of the premiums that it paid for group health coverage for that particular employee? So we're not talking about the employee's premium, but now we're talking about the employer's portion of that premium. Can the employer recover it if the employee doesn't return to work upon expiration of FMLA leave? In short, yes, the employer can. The regs are fairly clear that the employer has the right to recover its share of the health care premiums for that health care plan during a period of unpaid leave if the employee fails to return to work after that FMLA leave entitlement is exhausted, unless very few exceptions apply. Let me address briefly how we define, first of all, return to work, because I imagine some of you might be asking, if the employee returns to work for one day, is that considered a return to work? According to the regulations, an employee has returned to work when he or she comes back to work for at least 30 calendar days. Interestingly, also, an employee moves directly from FMLA leave into retirement or retires during that 30-day return window is also considered to have returned to work, which itself presents its own kind of questions. But as a general rule, to return to work means that you've come back to work for 30 consecutive calendar days. But to be clear, an employee who returns to work for 29 calendar days or fewer and then resigns has not returned to work. They've come back, they have to come back to work for 30 calendar days to be considered to have returned to work. So as we've established, an employer can recover its own premium payments if the employee fails to return to work, except for a few instances. What are they? According to the regulations, an employee would not be required to pay back the employer's premium payments if, according to the regulations, the failure to return is due to what the regs term the continuation, recurrence, or onset of any of the following. That is, a serious health condition that the employee is suffering from, a serious health condition that a family member is suffering from, or a serious injury or illness of a covered service member for whom the employee is obligated to care for. The regulations also have a catch-all category, and this is often what trips employers up. The employee is also not required to repay the employer's premium payments if the employee's failure to return to work is due to other circumstances beyond the employee's control. And the regulations make clear that this term, other circumstances, is naturally broad. Employers, of course, fear this kind of language because there's little certainty as to how the Department of Labor or a court might apply this regulation to a specific situation. However, the regulations do provide us some examples. as to what other circumstances mean. For instance, if a parent chooses to stay home and care for a child with a serious health condition, that is a circumstance beyond the employee's control. Or other situations might apply, and the regulations specifically cite these as examples. For instance, an employee's spouse is unexpectedly transferred to a job location that is more than 75 miles from the employee's work site. Or if an employee is required to care for a family member with a serious health condition. These are other circumstances where the employee would not have to repay the employer's premiums. The regs are somewhat helpful in that they confirm that circumstances beyond the employee's control do not cover situations where, for instance, the employee voluntarily decides to stay home to be with a newborn child who is otherwise healthy, who doesn't have a serious health condition, or a situation where an employee chooses to move closer to a parent, even though they're not obligated to care for that parent. So the regulations do provide some examples as to what would not be a circumstance beyond the employee's control. Bill, it seems easy enough for an employee to call up the employer and tell the employer that one of these exceptions apply and they're not returning to work, and therefore they don't have to repay the premium. What options are available to the employer to ensure that one of these exceptions apply?
Well, Jeff, the regulations do allow an employer to require an employee to provide medical certification if they're claiming that the reason they can't return is due to the continuation of a serious health condition or due to the continuing need to care for a covered service member. So in those instances, you'd use the same certification forms that you use for FMLA leave in the first place. And you can require the employee to go have those filled out by a healthcare provider as you ordinarily would if the employee was simply seeking FMLA leave. Now, and this is a question that, Jeff, you asked me, and I wasn't quite sure of the answer, so I went and did a little bit of research to see if I could find an answer. The regulations don't specifically allow for the sorts of follow-up that you can do ordinarily with a medical certification. So typically, if you're asking for a certification, you can request authentication and clarification from the healthcare provider. You may be able to ask for, you can ask for a second and third opinion when it's a certification for a serious health condition. There's no similar provision in the regulation, though, that allows you to ask for certification that an employee cannot return from work due to the continuation of a serious health condition. And as far as I can tell, there aren't any cases that have addressed this issue, at least not that I could find in the brief research that I did before our podcast here. So that really leaves employers in a bit of a quandary. An employee can relatively easily get a doctor to sign off on a medical certification for essentially whatever they want. And there's no clear mechanism in the regulations that allows an employer to then follow up through the second and third opinion process as they ordinarily might. But discretion being the better part of valor, my recommendation would be that in the absence of something specific that says you can do that, your operating assumption should be that you can't and you just have to accept the certification that you get.
So the employer is able to obtain certification that one of these exceptions apply. Is there any kind of time limit for the employee to provide that certification, Bill?
Yeah, the certification has to be provided, I believe, within 30 days of the date of the employer's request. So unlike the 15-day certification that an employee would ordinarily have to have, the deadline here is 30.
Great. Thanks, Bill. I mentioned earlier that an employer may recover premiums during a period of unpaid leave if the employee doesn't return. To be clear, the employer cannot recover premiums for any period of paid leave. So, for example, if the employee takes 3 weeks of vacation concurrently with FMLA leave, the regulations tell us that the employer cannot recover premiums for the three-week period of paid vacation leave. This would apply as well to short-term disability and workers' compensation payments because the employee is not on unpaid leave during that time. Bill, let me throw another question at you. The HR professional or employer listening to this podcast is saying to him or herself, well, this is all well and good, Jeff and Bill. I have an employee who hasn't returned from FMLA leave. I've paid premiums for the 3 months that they've been out. They've told me they're not returning. So it's great that I can recover these premiums now, but how do I actually recover it? How do I get my money? What do we tell them?
Well, you could sue them. And that's a little bit flippant, but unfortunately, in a lot of cases, that may be the only recourse if the employee is not voluntarily coming up with this money. What the regulations say is that assuming an employee owes employer premiums under these provisions that we've been talking about, that becomes a debt to the employer. And it's collectible through whatever means your state's laws permit you to collect debts from employees. Now, a lot of states, Illinois, where we are included, have restrictions on employers' ability to collect debts from employees by, for example, payroll deductions or deductions from final pay. So, in theory, supposing you had an employee who failed to return to work after FMLA leave, but had some final pay coming from them, you might be inclined to try to recover that from their final pay. Now, in Illinois, you could do that if they agreed to that, but there's a cap on that. You can only take out 15% from their final pay. You're going to be subject to making sure that they're receiving minimum wage and overtime. In any event, when we're talking about an employee who's already been out on 12 weeks of FMLA leave, including a substantial amount of unpaid time, they're not in pretty much any circumstance going to have a lot of final pay coming to them, if any. So there's not going to be anything to take a deduction from, even if you could, under your state's law. So the bottom line is you likely have a debt that is owed to you by the employee, and you're going to have to collect that like you would any other unsecured debt. And at the end of the day, your only option may be to refer it to collection and potentially file a lawsuit.
So this regulation seems to ring a bit hollow in that it allows, in one instance, the employer to recover premium payments that it paid, but it likely is a situation where the employee has no final payment coming to them upon termination. And so it really is, from a practical standpoint, it ends up being a conversation that the employer has with the now former employee to repay that debt. And if that debt is not repaid, the only recourse may be collection or litigation.
Right. I think that's right. And it's also an encouragement to employees to actually return from FMLA leave because, you know, they're probably not going through the detailed analysis we have of exactly how are you going to collect that debt. But knowing that you may owe this may actually encourage people to try to get back to work.
That concludes our FMLA Insights podcast for today. We welcome your suggestions and your questions for future versions of this podcast. Feel free to email those to us at fmla@franzic.com. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is a free production of Franzic Radelet. Franzic Radelet's podcast and website are intended for general informational purposes only and are not legal advice. While we encourage your feedback, please do not send us any confidential information unless you are a client of our firm, as your communications with us may not be privileged.